Well, good morning, everyone. Like Angie said this morning, my name is Maddie Elliott. I'm the caring minister here at Calvary, and it's just wonderful to be with you to share this message on such a special day in the church. And we talked about this already, this binky or nook or pacifier, whatever you called it in your house. And when I was growing up, we called it a passy. And I just became a mom just a year ago, and I didn't realize how much my house would be full of pacifiers until then. But it is. We're swimming in passies. Well, when I was younger, when I was a baby, I was really, really attached to my pacifier. And some kids are, as I've read in my many parenting books. And my parents, as I approached age 3, they decided that it was time to move me beyond the pacifier. That's right, age 3. I still wanted to use it. So they wanted to encourage me to move past my pacifier usage. And what they did is they tried incentives. They were really strategic about how they were going to move me beyond this pacifier business. And they tried incentives like I'd get a treat if I didn't use it. They also tried asking me really nicely if I would choose not to use it. And they also tried other strategies like maybe meeting some goals, right? They'd be good business people, I think. They were really strategic. But nothing was working. Nothing was working. I really was attached to this pacifier. And one weekend, we went to visit my dad's brother's house, and we had a great time. We had a great weekend together. I had cousins there. We all played. And as we got back in the car, I looked at my mom, and I said, "Mom, can I please have my pacifier, my passy?" And she, who was holding said pacifier in her hand, in her purse, clutched in her seat, in a last-ditch effort to get me to move beyond the beloved pacifier, she looked at me and she said, "Oh, Maddie, I'm so sorry. We left it at Uncle Mark's house." And I'm told that I looked up at her with these big puppy dog eyes that filled up with tears, and I looked at her and I said, "It's gone forever." And I never asked for my pacifier again. It worked. It worked. So finally, I moved beyond the pacifier. Well, that might have been the first time in my life that I had experienced a loss of any kind. But I'll tell you here today that it was certainly not the last time that I would experience loss in my life. But as you get older, loss becomes a little more complicated and a little more painful. When I was 7 years old, I had a friend that lived down the street from me, and she was diagnosed with a rare type of brain cancer. And though we got to spend many years together playing and making memories, when we were 12, she passed away. And I remember going to her funeral and sitting with my family and kind of taking it all in. And I remember being overcome with this emotion and this pain of loss that I felt as I thought about that I couldn't just call Sarah on the phone to come over and play. Right? That I couldn't just see her at school the next day and ask her what she thought of our homework assignment. There was a feeling of loss that I had never experienced before. A few years later, my parents announced to my family that they were going to get a divorce. I remember being overcome with that same emotion, that same pain, as I thought about not just the loss of our home that we shared together or the neighborhood where we lived, but the loss of my family as I knew it, right? Just a few years ago, my dad, who lives here in Alexandria, he was diagnosed with a form of dementia called Lewy body dementia. And it's really just a horrible, horrible thing. And the symptoms kind of combine the symptoms of Parkinson's disease and Alzheimer's together. It's really, really quite terrible. And when he told us that that was the diagnosis, I remember that same feeling coming into my body, right? That feeling of loss, right? I had this expectation of what it would be like to come into adulthood and what role my parents would play in my life, right? And suddenly that was kind of being taken away from me. And though I'm brief in these stories that kind of have shaped my life, I hope that it is clear that these stories were really important in my life. These moments where I have met great loss, right, really shaped who I am today. And through those moments, there was no looking back, right? My life would forever be changed because of those moments, right? And I'm no stranger to loss, like you heard, loss and suffering and grief. And I know that neither are you, right? Today we honor those that we have lost this year. And as we take time to honor those people, I'd also like to carve out time to think about some of the other types of loss that we have experienced this year. Whether it was a loss of a spouse or a parent, a child or a miscarriage, a job, the loss of income, the loss of a home, right? The loss that you experience when you need to struggle with depression or anxiety, right? The loss due to addiction or suicide, right? We experience many types of loss in this life, things that we meet where our lives will never be the same again, right? And in those times of loss, Jesus has a message for us that I want to share with you today. And it comes to us from one of his most famous sermons. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. And he comes and he says some really radical things for the time. He gets up there on the mount. And I'm going to read what's in white, and then I'll ask you to join me with the yellow. It's in your bulletin as well. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him. And he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Now, when I have looked at this text before, it kind of makes me focus on, right, like our life to come, right? Our everlasting life. It's like, it kind of sounds like it's talking about, well, if you've been rejected in this life, right? Well, when you're through that, then you'll have God's blessings, right? Or if you're mourning right now, then when you're through that, when you're over it, then you'll have God's blessings is kind of what it sounds like. It sounds like it's not talking about this life, but the next. But I want to point something out to you that Jesus, in this message, he doesn't say, "Blessed will be those who mourn." And he doesn't say, "Blessed will be those who are poor in spirit," right? Those who are suffering, those who have been rejected. He doesn't say, "Blessed will be." He says, "Blessed are." Blessed are you in those times when you've been rejected. Blessed are you who experience loss right now in the suffering, in that darkness right now. Blessed are. It's really quite a radical thing. And some of you know this, but I'm a seminary student, and Pastor Hans asked me if I would show off a little bit of what I'd learned for you all. And another way to translate the word blessed from Scripture is to say favored. So not only are we talking about a blessing, which can sometimes be hard to fathom, what does a blessing look like? But another way to translate that would to say favored. So favored are you, those who mourn. Favored are you who are poor in spirit. It's kind of like Jesus' whole attention, right, is on you. And we light these candles today, and whenever I'm around candles or bonfires or anything like that, I kind of am totally succumbed by the flame. I'm totally focused, lasered in on the flame. It's just so mesmerizing, and that's what I want you to think about. Jesus' full attention on you, like you're a flickering flame, and his whole attention is zeroed in on you in those times of suffering, in those times of loss, those points that we reach in life where our lives will never be the same. And Jesus was no stranger to suffering either, right? He suffers and weeps at his friend Lazarus' death. He weeps before the crucifixion, right? And also he bears all that suffering on the cross, right? And so Jesus' message for us today is quite special, right? Blessed are you who have lost. Favored are you who have lost, right? Blessed are you who have been rejected. Blessed are you who struggle with addiction or struggle with your personal mental health. Blessed are you who sits alone at the lunch table. Blessed are you who face a diagnosis or months to live. Blessed are you who struggle with the way that your body feels now. Blessed are you, those who have lost, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. Let's pray. Gracious and mighty God, we give you thanks for walking alongside us. Lord, we know that we will face times of struggle in this life. We hear that your promise is not to save us from that struggle, Lord, but to walk with us. And we give you thanks. In your Son, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.